Edison Hatter here for this week's Harness Players Podcast as we prepare for a great week of racing here. Actually, you know, it's all international racing when you think about it. We've got north of the border in Canada, the North America Cup coming up this Saturday evening. But before that, we have a major race in the afternoon, although it'll be in the midnight sun overseas in Sweden. The Norrbottens Stora Prix comes up at Boden. So I'll bring back my usual Swedish co-hosts. Mike Probosi should be jumping in here. Mike, we ready to roll for another Swedish major race? We're going to add to those Gucci bags behind you?
I'm ready, and it's Chanel. Don't be trying to make it less than it is.
Thomas Svensson's with us as well. Thomas is unfortunately not making any bags. He lost a poker tournament, he tells us, out there in Vegas. But, hey, Thomas, you know, Vegas, always an opportunity to make more money, right?
Vegas, first time in Vegas. I've been living 9 years, and first time in Vegas. I'm in love with the city and everything, especially for me, who is like a big fan of sports betting and poker. Took day for day, played a couple of tournaments, cashed in a VSOP tournament here for a couple of days ago. So very many good experience, many hours on the poker table. So I'm leaving Las Vegas on Friday with and coming. Hope I will be back soon.
You know, everyone's always surprised when I say it, but it is a true fact. I've never been to Vegas in my life. Probably a good thing, though. I probably would also fall in love with the city, Thomas, so maybe it's for the best. But, hey, a city I have flown through before is Boden over in Sweden. In fact, the background I got here behind me, I've been to Jukkasjärvi there at the Ice Hotel up in the Lapland. That's where I was a couple weeks ago when I was over for Elite Loppet, and that's about a 4 hours drive north of Boden. And, Thomas, this is obviously the northernmost track in Sweden. We're nearly to the Arctic Circle. Midnight sun, so it's the benefit of being able to run the big race at nearly 5 o'clock in the afternoon here on the East Coast, which is nearly 11 o'clock at night over there, and no lights needed. There's still plenty of daylight.
Yeah, I was lucky to be in, when I was in the Navy, I was in the North Norway, it's almost in the same a place like Boden is in Sweden, and it's the same thing there when you have the summer and you have the light there. Yeah, there is daylight all the time, but when they get dark, it gets dark for 6 months. It's beautiful when it's beautiful, but it's depressing when it's depressing.
Yeah, I heard the same thing from someone over in Sweden that works with me over there that served in the military as well in Sweden and was way up in the north. They kind of said the same thing. Obviously, the alternative of Mike, the midnight sun, you get the 24 hours of daylight, but the winter, obviously a totally different story when the sun doesn't exactly get above the horizon for a month at the northernmost parts.
Yeah, it reminds me when I was working 12-hour shifts at the hospital in the wintertime, and you'd come in and it's 6 in the morning and it's dark, and you leave at 7 at night and it'd be still dark. So that was, you know, same kind of stuff. I mean, it's just, it's not fun. I do think that the daylight, though, would be fun. I'd like to get up there for this race. I think that'd be great.
So, Thomas, Boden, we've got about 35 race days or so a year up there throughout the year as well. I mean, they are already up there, though. They'll go through the winter up there. I recall last December watching one of those meets. They had to have gotten, I mean, you know, 5, 6, 7 inches of snow throughout the card, and, you know, on they marched. But 1,000-meter track, it's another 5/8 track. And I don't know what your impressions, Thomas, of Boden are, but for me at least, it seems like we see a lot of winners coming from towards the back of the pack, it seems like, more than other tracks. So that's always the spot that I kind of look for at Boden, sometimes off the pace, I think.
Yeah, like, they don't have so many days during the year, like, they can race with, like, summer shoes. And you normally they have, like, almost, like, Borium in the shoes, and they have, so I think some of the horses, if you go too fast to the first half, they, you can get not just like tire, but you get muscle tire, because you need to have some spikes in the shoes, and it's, some horses is good with spikes in the shoes, but this time the car we're going to talk about now they have a good track, and the track is fast up there, so I'm looking forward to the card, and it's going to be cool to see Francesco Sett back in business.
Well, Mike, before we get rolling with this year's card and handicapping, we're going to take a quick peek back at last year's replay of the last lap. But what we're going to see in that replay, as you should recall, is, of course, Francesco Sett, who'll be looking to defend his title. He won last year, but maybe the more impressive story out of the race was, of course, the second-place finisher, Just Believe, coming up from Australia. It was nice to see them pick up a big check while they were in Sweden after the disappointment in Elite Lop. And, you know, I heard Just Believe won. Actually, while I was over in Sweden this year, he won another Group 1 down in New Zealand. So he's had plenty of success back home. So maybe that's a sign to our American connections. You can take that long ship and come back home with some success.
Absolutely. And Just Believe was a huge story last year in the Elite Lop. And I remember you were over there and had some coverage from the big ship from that horse. Well, he stuck around and ended up second to the big favorite last year. And it's a good story. I think that... you know, stuff like that. It inspires others to make the ship, to try these sorts of races. And I hope that some of the American horses would come over here, especially for races like this, where, you know, maybe the competition isn't quite what it definitely isn't what it would be on the elite weekend. So you could still, I think, be competitive in some of the bigger races. And it's a sporting thing. I mean, you have to be able to be willing to do that sort of thing. But I do think it would be intriguing if we could get some more American horses to go over.
We'll go in here and take a look at the replay. Last 1,000 meters, last lap here of last year's Norbotten's Stora Prix.
They've gone through the 1,000 in 1:12.4. Down the inside, 7, Melby Jinx. A surprise lead early. Second pair on the outside, Mandela Zone. They followed in turn by number 10, Ferrari Sisu. There's Connie Lugauer, followed by number 8, Zugi AMG. They go down the far side with 850 metres to go. 1:12.4 through the 1,000. The Australian horses working hard on the outside. Just believe. I'm holding thumbs for you. On the inside, Francesco Zet, the champion. He heads affairs on the outside. A great race here by the Greg Ross Sugars. He's holding his second place and he's going well on the outside there. On the inside one, Francesco Zet is going to be virtually unbeatable. But have a look at Just Believe. I can't believe what I'm seeing. He's coming forward on the outside. He's challenging Francesco Zet, the all-time champion here in Sweden. They come for home. He's still there. 1, Francesco Zet on the outside. 5, Just Believe. Come on, Australia. Come on. Give it to us. And it's Greg Sugars. He's going to get second. What a great race. That's the best one to watch. It's 5, Just Believe. 1:05.7. Fantastic, Australia.
Enter. So good look at last year's replay. And Mike, you know, we didn't get a chance to mention for the Elite Lop show. Definitely should have mentioned it now. Obviously, incredibly unfortunate to hear the news a couple months ago of the passing of Harry Cheadle, the commentator we heard there. Obviously, such a pleasure to meet him last year. Truly one of the people I've listened to a lot, you know, over the years of listening to Swedish racing. It was a pleasure to meet Annette Lennon this year as well. Another one that I really look up to, but really, really a weird feeling to not see Harry again this year. Just so great. So grateful I got to meet him last year.
Yeah, what a great call there. And that was most of his calls, just wild. And you never knew. He'd tell you who he bet in the race. I mean, he was just one of a kind. That's all I can say.
And he owned a few, too. You definitely knew the ones that he owned. But, yeah, Thomas, last year, obviously, Francesco said took care of business. He'll be looking to do the same again this year. But, you know, even you heard it in Harry's call. I mean, clearly Just Believe was really a story last year with that second place finish against those upper elite horses.
Yeah, I was like very surprised with Just Believe. I never been like very exciting when some of the Australian down under horses is coming to Scandinavia to races always. But this one here, he showed that this was the real deal. When he got back home, he's been crushing it down under and stuff like that. So it is cool with when you get the fairy tale stories, like same thing with Harry Nose coming from Ireland, now going to the Sweden Cup, and he's staying in Sweden to race there. It's cool. But 90% of the times they can't compete on the highest level, but Just Believe he was one of a kind.
Well, we'll get into our handicapping here. We're going to discuss 6 races. The last, the 13th, that's the big one, but we got a lot of good undercard races here as well, Thomas, starting with the 8th race on Saturday, June 15th at DeBoden. First post time is 12:10, so that's about 6:10 local. So I think of it kind of like a Meadowlands card, 14 races on the card. We're going to finish just after 11 o'clock after starting at 6. And no track lights needed, obviously, with the extended daylight over there. But race 8, we've got these Swedish Trotting League, the Diamond Trotters, the older 3-year-old and older males or mares on the trot. The Volt Start, 2,140 meters, just over 2 laps of the track, Thomas, 15-horse field. And 6 of them on the front line, the 20-meter handicap for the rest, as Regatolo pulls up the field for us there for this 8th race, Thomas.
Yeah, it is the biggest favorite in the pick 7 is coming out in this race. It's number 8, Relevant Stride, coming from a very good barn with Katja Melko and her husband, Janne Saronen, a Finnish guy who trains, and they've been crushing it. I think they have a win percentage over 30 on the horses. So... it's vault start, and she have number two on the 20 meters handicapping. That's the only question mark. She has been betting hard. She won 3 of 5 last year. She's been winning 5 or 6 this year. She has been looking very like a smart horse. I don't think the Volstar will have any problem. She haven't raced the Volstar the last 5 races. She is up against horses I think she's just going to beat. I understand some of the handicappers maybe want to go against her when she have little handicapped and with the Volstar, but what I've seen about the Relevance Diet, I think she is a key horse to win this race.
Yeah, Mike, I hate to echo the same thing as Thomas, but not a whole lot of other thoughts for me. I mean, I thought Relevant Stride clearly the one to beat here, you know, 5 or 6 so far this year, the second on Elite Lop weekend down at Solvalla. And, you know, obviously the Swedish media made a lot about Isoard Verake in the Harper Hanover and that vault start for Benjamin Rochard. Maybe the same story here, not to the same extreme, but, you know, as long as she can handle getting out of there, I think even with a 20-meter handicap, shouldn't be any issue. And Jorma Kontio, obviously, pretty experienced, I hear, with racing over there in Sweden. So Relevant Stride for me, the clear pick.
It's interesting. She's 59% on the pick 7. There's a lot of things there, though, that has to overcome. Has to overcome the vault start, has to overcome the handicap. Those are things that are not easy to overcome. So to be 59%, she has to be a lot of horse. The next bet horse, as far as the pick 7 goes, a couple on the outside, the 14 and the 15. For the inside ones, though, the 2, MT Special Girl. Now, this is a SJ's Caviar, you know, mare here that draws perfect. You got an inside draw. 2 wins in her last 2. 1 at the racetrack on May 24th. There are positives here. And could she be good enough to beat the favorite? I'm not sure, but I do think it's worth taking a shot against this favorite just because of all the things that she does have to overcome here. That's when you want to try to chase prices. So I looked at the 2. I thought that one was a chance. And then the 15 Soccer Box. This is a top connections here. This horse has won 9 races and 26 starts. And big handicap, though, 9 post, that's, you know, on the second tier, too. So that's a lot to overcome, especially with the vault start. Has to be very good to overcome that handicap. But this horse has some class, 4 wins prior to the last start and only got beat less than 2. So is used to the vault starts, has a couple wins there. So those would be the 2, I think, the 2 and the 15, if you want to take a shot against the favorite.
Yeah, it's funny, Mike. The other one that I circled for potential underneath, I think Relevant Stride wins, but maybe in the exact, I was looking for the 2 as well, MT Special Girl. Obviously, the races there in Finland look okay, and 2 back getting the same trip here over in Boden, getting the vault start, obviously with a little bit of experience there, I think is worth noting. So I agree with you with that one, potentially underneath as we go to the 9th race. This one's for the 3-year-old and olders. This time it is the auto start over that 2,140-meter distance, and well, Mike, there's several of them that are going to take money. The one, Godwin Zet, is the direction that I went with Santu Raitala here, obviously one of those top Finnish drivers. And this horse has seen some action over there in Finland as of late. But the 4, Summit by Proxy, the 9, Kurtz. Mike, I think they're both going to take some money as well in the spot.
Yeah, I went to the 3, SG Dangerous. And this horse had 3 wins prior to last, 2 of those at Boden. The last start was not beat very far there. Another one that draws well, top connections here again. I thought I like you mentioned about the driver on the 1. He was excellent, I thought, Elite Lop weekend. He was putting horses in the right spots. So I do think that I you have to follow drivers too. And I do think that he is underrated, absolutely. So that was another one. And I agree on the 4, Summit by Proxy. Another one loves a racetrack. 3 wins in the last 5 starts. The horses must be getting better. I mean, just finally woke up, had 18 starts so far, 3 wins in the last 5. So did lose to SG Dangerous, though, on April 25th. So I'd be like a 3-4-1 there, I think.
Thomas, I guess we maybe should mention a little bit, maybe the 8, Zigzag Zagazoo, or the 11, ID Gasoline. The Daniel Vashian barn has been going very well as of late. Obviously, Borup's victory, 2nd in the elite race this year.
Yeah, Daniel Wajostan is maybe the second biggest trainer in Sweden after Daniel, on the money earning on Daniel Redén. And he's a young kid. He was visiting us in Florida in 2016 when I worked for Arcis Wednesday when he was a young kid. So he has been everywhere and tried to take impulse, and he's been doing fantastic. He's a very good driver also. This race here is wide open. I think the best horse is number 12, Coin Boy LA, but he's a three-year-old coming out against older horses. Post 12, not the easiest one. But if it gets a little overpaced, I think 12 Coin Boy LA can have a decent shot. He's just 9% in the pick seven right now. Another horse who I think is a little undervalued is number 2, Fructose. I think she had won 5 for 5 when she come to the front. I'm not sure if she can go to the lead. She's need to take it a little carefully just behind the gate. But it's a good horse. And the one you mentioned, Mike, SG Dangerous, is first time no air plugs. Well, Elwell with pullouts, air plugs, first time, can win. Yeah, she is one of them. Number 4, Summit by Proxby, have been another horse when they pull the shoes. 1-3 this year and all with no shoes. The one you mentioned also, 6-6 Sagasu. It's Sagasu. It's bad post, but it's good for the class. The favorite right now is number 9, Kurtz. Can win, but it's not like a horse. I think it should be the favorite. It's a wide open race. For me, the value play is number 12, Coin Boy LA.
There's a carryover, pick 7, yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, I think they always have it because I have 2 seconds. I have it here and now because they always have it when we don't get paid for. I have it here, pick 7. Yeah, there is $1.7 million US dollars extra in the 7 pool, and that's only going into the 7 pool because we paid for 7, 6, and 5 in Scandinavia.
Yeah, it'd be a fantastic pool for sure on Saturday's card. Thomas, I guess one thing we should mention before we turn the page, Ray will get us to race 10 eventually there, but you mentioned the 12-year potential outsider here, Hannah Olafsson, as well as Sandra Eriksson. They're both obviously two of the local conditioners up there in Boden. Maybe a little bit of advantage to them, maybe against the big boys coming into town?
Yeah, but I think so many of those horses coming in this race are it's local horses. You have a couple of shippers in there, like Kurtz is shipping in, I know. And I think also Goodwin set the shipping it, but there's very many local horses who is racing here. And Hannah Olofsson, she has been doing it super good. Her and Sandra Eriksson is crushing it home there. And they are both training horses and they both drive races. So I'm very, very happy to see they do good.
Yeah, and I'm probably biased, but I know Sandra Eriksson will be maybe on my exact trifecta tickets in the big race. Obviously, last time I really recall betting her was in a couple of daily double races on Christmas morning at Umoker, and she got a couple of victories on that card. But race 10 up next, the Cold Bloods here as part of the Swedish Trotting League, 2,140 meters on the vault start. And Thomas, for me, I went to the 13 Pyrotech coming off of a disappointing effort at Jävla last time out, but that was over the longer 3,180-meter trip. Gets back to this 2140 distance, but we'll have the 20-meter handicap. The fact the outside 8 will be on that handicap, or outside 7 will be on that handicap line.
Yeah, this race here is also, I think it is a couple of horses who is like, it's better than the other one. Like you mentioned, number 13, Pyrotech, it's coming from Jan-Olof Persson, who is the best Kolbers trainer in Sweden with Chumslan. And he had much use in the bike. He is very, very strong. He can go 3 wide the last 5-8. And he should be up there. I think also from the same barn there, Prince of Sol, I think that is my personal favorite. He's been driving Per Lindroth, who is a very good driver on the Kolbers. And if he have a very good post when it's well start with post 6, I think he can get a good start. And I don't see so many of them who want to try to, they want to have his helmet. So I think Prince of Sola is going to be in the front. And I think he's the horse to beat. One horse who can be a little decent is number 4, Moody Gripa. Very, very fast, but she need to have a helmet. He need to have a helmet to race from. If he can get a little trip, number 4, Moody Gripa can be okay, but 6, Prince of Sola, and also number 13, Pyrotech is my picks.
Mike, what do you think of the 10th race? And, you know, I feel like, see, it's a shame we don't have Ray. Ray is producing for us in the background. Of course, we'll get him for the Mohawk segment. I feel like the Ray angle would just be like trying to pick the ones that he can't pronounce.
I don't usually do that, but I will mention a horse, Thomas Didn't, and that's the 3, Technolina. This horse has a win over the track after pulling the shoes last time, has 7 lifetime wins, and a lot of these horses have made similar money if you look down the board. I mean, they take turns beating each other. Most of them have made between 50, 60,000. So yeah, for these cold blood races, I am not one to take horses coming from behind. I do think that they tend to, speed tends to dominate these races. So if Thomas says the 6 is going to be up front, that's, I think, the horse that I would be wanting to key off of, because I like speed in these races. And so 6 probably get the front, and then I probably use it 3 and 4 underneath, and stick to that, the horses that aren't on the handicap here, looking for some prices, maybe try to work some exactas, and that's how I like to play these races.
If I could hop in here off of what Ed said, you can't just mention me and not expect me to defend myself.
Yeah, what do you got?
I the only thing I have to say about this race is I actually know what the 8's name translates to, because that okay. horse is Svol Julius, which in Norwegian is how they pronounce Orange Julius. I just wanted to share that with everybody. So if you're into ice cream, fruit and vanilla combinations, that the 8 horse is probably exact. Yeah, and you what is the horse? 88-1. So maybe that's something for you. Okay, I have to go back into my den now. Goodbye.
Ray, Thomas, what do we give Ray's pronunciation skills?
Nah, it's bad, because Sjöwall Julius, it's like the first name there is the breeder's last name. And he said something that the Sjöwall Julius was an orange ice cream.
Yeah, it translates to Orange Julius.
Sjöwall is nothing to do with orange. Orange is apelsin is orange in Norwegian.
Okay, no, the Norwegian word for orange is not apple seed. Okay, I refuse to believe that.
Ray, we've got 8 minutes left. You can excuse yourself. You've imparted your wisdom to us for the day.
This is here is just the breeder's name, and Julius is, we have our famous monkey in the zoo we had a zoo in Norway, and every Shelton go to this to visit his, and his name was Julius, and he was a famous monkey.
Race 11, let's go to the bronze division, 3-year-old and older trotter, 1640 meters in the auto start. Mike, the one Imperator. I thought coming actually was over in Vermo on Finlandia Day back at the beginning of May. Got a win that day. 3rd last time out. I think this one here probably, yeah, let's see what we got. 46% are on the V75. I would say the 2nd most confident single for me, Mike. I still think race 8, Relevant Stride, is my most confident single of the card. But Imperator is up there too.
Well, at least you get a gate here, and you get the rail, and you get top connections. Redon, Killstrom. A horse that has some back numbers. So that's where I went also to the 1. Other horses I'd consider for underneath, the 5, Zhang Limits, a horse that likes the track. It always seems to be around it. Already 11 starts this year, so definitely getting after it. 3 wins, 3 second place finishes, and is right there every week. So I like that one. And then the 5, or the 6, Last Dying Breath, 5 wins this year already. And again, another horse that is a local horse, Hannah Olofsson here. She drives, she trains. I would think that the last 2 races pulling the shoes, this horse raced very well. Lost to the 5, 3 back. So these horses, like I said, sort of take turns beating each other. I think the 1 is very probable, the 5 and 6 for underneath.
Thomas?
Imperator, if he can protect the rail, I think he wins. But I'm a little... I'm not sure if he can protect the rail. There is fast horses on the outside. Number 6, Last Dying Breath, is going to bomb out of the gate, and he can leave. And if he comes to the lead, I don't think they're going to take the lead. If he wins, if open race, I think number 4, Icon Meras, is he has been racing in super tough, tough competition. He's been out in some of the division final here with good purses, and he's been racing decent. He's a decent horse on a mile race too. So for me, it is going to be Imperator, six Last Dying Breath, the number four Icon Mirror. I think those three here is could have a good shot there. I will try to beat the favorite because I'm not sure if he can protect the race.
Race 12, we'll roll through here, Mike. Give us a little bit of time for the big race we got left here. Race 12, now this one here I thought was really wide open. 26:40 on the auto start for the three-year-old and olders. Class 1 here, group of 12. And I don't know, this, Mike, is the race where I thought you'd go a little price shopping.
Yeah, the 10's 39% there in the pick 7. And that horse shipped to Savala last time and was okay. Ended up third against Emerald Island. So I'd imagine we'll take a lot of money. I was on the outside to the 11, Jamie Sisu. That was a horse we were familiar with last year and won 7 out of 11. And I think has some class. 4 straight wins prior to the last race whenever this horse shipped out and, you know, lost. But back at the proper racetrack, again, Alf Olsson driving this time. Another top driver. And then the 12, Melby Calabar. These are tough posts to overcome, but another one I think has a good chance, has been racing and some upper levels, has been shipping around to different spots. Won at Savala back in March and then shipped to 3 other racetracks and was okay, wasn't disgraced, and has been racing, you know, decent ones for high purses. So I'm going to use those 3. I was 10, 11, and 12 there.
Yeah, you know, Thomas, so I said so much about the Daniel Vashtian barn, and I'm going against King and Mira, so I'm kind of with Mike. One of the ones I'll include will be the 11, Jamie Sisu, despite that outside post with Ulf Olsson. But where did you go to?
I think King and Mira is a good bet. I was expecting him to be a little higher on percentage. The race last time when he was third in Solvalla, go in and look it back, he went the last 5-8 in 3 wide and race super good against top final horses. It's a little competition. It's not super tough this time, but they have a little question mark with this distance. It's a mile and 5-8. They think it will be okay on it, but it's not his, like, they think he's more a mile horse. But competition wise, I think he is the best horse. If there is somebody who can beat him, it's going to be exciting to see number 7, Gallant Ima, with Alexandre Guchadoro driving. And he is a horse that's been very, very good. He's been racing in little tough competition too. And if Gallant Ima can come to the front, we know that Guchadoro is going to just go. He don't take any prisoners. So it's maybe the horse that I see against King Emeritus, but it looks for me he have good post 10. He have good horses that he can choose behind the gate. Number 3, Arpi Broline, and number 4, Patrick Silva. I think he's going to get third or fourth over. He can maybe get a helmet 3 wide. And I think King Emeritus is the horse to beat. And I think he should be a little higher on the percentage.
Yeah, I think the extra 500 meters is the question mark for me trying to stretch out there to 26:40 now. 7, Gallanima is another one I used. And the 6, Zeven Leader coming from Finland there. Santa Raitala, obviously some of that recent form seems solid enough over there. So that's the other one I toss in. So 6, 7, 11, my ways to try to beat King and Miras. But with the few minutes we have left, let's get to the big one. Race 13, the 2024 in Bolton Stora Pre Group 1 International. Thomas, defending champion Francesco Zet. I think last I checked, about a 61% on the V75. I'm sure Ray will pull us up the up-to-date numbers there. But Daniel Radian, Arjen Kielstrom, tough to knock those connections. They look for repeat in this race, but I'm sure you've got some potential alternatives for us.
I'm not sure. They go for a million Swedish. It's like a big race, but the race is not super high class. And Francesco Zet, like, I saw Redan took very much blame by himself that he didn't make Francesco more ready to the Elite Club, going into the Elite Club with only one race. He didn't race bad, but I think we made like a fairy tale story about Francesco said that he was like the horse that nobody have seen in a long, long time. But when we go back and look at Francesco said, he haven't beat any horses when he was younger. His division when he was when the same age as him in Sweden was very, very weak. So I think Francesco Sett is coming back after those two races in the Elite Club sharper than ever. And he's up against, I don't going to say nothing, but in his competition, he should be okay to win this race. The only thing I can see if 5 Castor the Star, that is a horse I really, really like. If he can come to the front, I don't think they're going to let Francesco Sett go to the lead. So if he is in the lead, I think Castor the Star is the only horse that can maybe beat Francesco Sett. But I would say Francesco Sett should have a super good shot to win this race. But it depends. If you want to go against him, then it's 5 Castor the Star.
Yeah, Mike, we saw Castor the Star in this race last year kind of try those tactics. And I thought a very good race from Castor the Star 4 back, the most recent win there at Yevla. But yeah, Francesco Sett, you know, I think clearly the one to knock off. And again, not to knock the horse at all, obviously super talented. We've seen that in his races. But I think Thomas kind of hinted towards it. You know, I think we do have to kind of question going forward with Francesco Sett. He really has found very favorable spots to build this massive win streak. And I don't know, a third and a fourth in the Elite Lop. I mean, he certainly didn't disgrace himself, but, you know, maybe there were higher expectations for who was the very slight betting favorite going into the Elite Lop.
Yeah, I didn't like the drive and the elimination for the Elite Lop. Not, I mean, it's an elimination race, but I just, that's not a horse that is showing dominant form. That's supposed to be like a Carl type horse that's next level the way he was hyped into the race. That wasn't the drive you got. And then in the final, again, they actually did go to the front, but he was overcome rather easily. And I don't think anything was beating Horsey Dream. Now comes back here, and again, this is a drop. There's really a lot of second tier type horses that are capable, but he's supposed to win this race. We thought he was supposed to win the Elite race. I mean, we sat here on the podcast and we're hyping him up and thought that he would win that race. So the fact that they're here, I do think that he's well meant. I don't think anybody needs us to talk them into a 2-5 shot. Alternatives, I mean, the outside horse, always EK, Gucci Doro, they're here for a reason. Ran into Missile Hill there in that final at Savala. Didn't that was a really nice race there. I mean, this horse is well meant, maybe on the improve. That would be the horse that I would take. If you're looking to beat the favorite, that might be the one. So for me, SIP, he had, whenever we were talking about the race last week with that they had to re-race, he ended up scratching out of that re-race. So was he involved in the accident? Or no,
I mean, he made a break there when it happened.
Mm-hmm. So he ended up not coming back for the second, and that's why you don't see it here on his lines if you're looking at that and looking for him. So that's not there, but he did race in that race, so that's another one that maybe could be interesting for an underneath spot. So of course, I think the favorite probably wins. 6 and 9 would be the alternates for me.
Francesco Sett on top for me for sure. And this kind of brings back everything I've been saying this whole show. The Daniel Vashian barn, great skills. You know, obviously got some good class there at Vincennes. Bjorn Goop was down there driving. Daniel was down driving. We see a Dao de Tillard in those form lines. We see Isoard Verdeke. There's all sorts of form, I think, from great skills. Last time out, it wasn't the greatest at Mantorp and a bit of a cheaper race. But, you know, first start back in several months here. So looking for him maybe to take a step forward here in this start. And the one Versace face, another Daniel Redia, and the stablemate here, Sandra Erickson, talking about the local connections, local drivers there, 1-3 so far this year. Again, might not have been racing against the toughest, but does draw inside, and, you know, it's tough to knock anything from the Daniel Redia barn when it's going to be the price that he's going to be against this group. So, I don't know, that's the theoretical alternatives to me, but it could end up being, I think, a pretty formful race, and obviously that starts with Francesco Sett in all likelihood on top of your tickets. But a good look at a big race card, a big weekend here in Sweden this Saturday, again, June 15th, at the Spoden, and first post again, 12:10 in the afternoon here on the East Coast, so 6:10 local time. The big race goes at 4:46 p.m. Eastern time, which puts us at about 10:46 at night over there. So should be a great weekend of racing over there. And I don't even know what Ray is trying to show us now.
Thomas wasn't lying. There is a famous Norwegian chimp named Julius.
Yeah.
I had to see this out.
Why would the native Norwegian lie to us?
No, not that, you know, because, you know, you would know, but I don't know, of all the, I mean, we had Harambe, but like he was only our monkey because the zoo killed him. Like,
but Julius, he got very aggressive on his older days.
Well, it says here he's still alive, supposedly.
Yeah, maybe he's still alive, but he was, I'm not sure. He was very aggressive in the, I know when he was getting older. So I've been two or three times to go and see him.
This is so sad. He was rejected by his mother. That's so sad.
Well, so that's great. Thomas, we thank you for joining us. And that there you go. There's the note we get to leave you on. So thanks for joining us. We'll let you get back to, I'm sure, very important Vegas things. It's 6 o'clock. Night's still young out there. So enjoy the rest of your evening. Thomas, thanks for stopping by. Thank you. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks. Ciao, ciao.
Ray, I guess you're allowed to stay, which is unfortunate.
According to who? I think according to me, in all honesty.
I think it's unfortunate.
I'm about halfway through the densest sandwich I've ever eaten.
Are you trying to put something on that green screen, or what is that? You just have
This is just up. I don't really know how to decorate this place. Like, I have stuff behind it.
You need to get you some Chanel hanging up in the back. That's what you need.
That, you know, that's what everyone misspells my last name. They call me Ray Chanel. So maybe you're onto something with that observation. This is seriously a heavy sandwich. This is a double Whopper. I don't get why it's so heavy.
You got a double Whopper?
And yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, Where's Garnett?
Mike, we're working through
some... Where is Garnett? I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, the good news is we've got somebody besides Ray to bring into this, so at least there's that.
Not yet. So, he's not here yet.
Well, because
Did he send him the link?
Yeah, he said he never got a link from Ray, so I had to forward it to
him. I emailed it to him.
It's okay, Ray. I'm out here doing everything for you.
I emailed it to him. It's in his email. He's really stuck in the Burger King drive-thru because he saw me eating the densest sandwich and went, I could go for a dense sandwich myself. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him for that.
Well, we will await for Garnett to join us, so it should be momentarily. But in the meantime, let's jump into the next piece of action. Yeah, Mike, isn't this interesting? It always feels weird to me. Mohawk always feels like an American track to me, but obviously it's in Canada. So really, this is a purely international show. We're going from Sweden to Canada. We got nothing in the States this week.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there's races going on. We're just not covering any of them. So, yeah, the Battle of Lake Erie last week, and that was a big race in the U.S. I'm sure there's some sire stakes somewhere we could look at, but the focus of the hardest racing universe is on Mohawk right now. And for this Saturday, for this North America Cup and all their big stakes finals, I would say must watch, because this North America Cup is fantastic. Lots of chances to win. And you're going to get your price if you like somebody. I'm hoping that I get my price on. I think everybody knows who I'm going to go for.
It's not only must watch in like the excitement sense. Also, it is mandatory viewing. You might lose your ADW account if you are not watching the racing at Mohawk. This, especially if you're an HPI player like Garnett Barnsdale, who's now with us.
Speaking of mandatory, we have the mandatory high five, too, which I don't think we're going to mention after that, but...
Let's go.
Oh, hey, we do have Garnett with us. And, you know, I was just about to say the last thing, the three of us were here before Garnett came, but since Garnett's here, I'll mention with him too. But I just want to say, obviously, first of all, Mike, to answer your question, graduate this weekend at the Meadowlands along with Courier Knives of the Meadows. But I was thinking more towards the Meadows, Yonkers, everything else going on. Garnett, you know, it's always a dangerous sport. And it feels like this past week, we've had several accidents. There's been, one in Northfield. Ray, you had one down at Oak Grove. Mm-hmm. Pat LaChance, obviously, was pretty significantly banged up there in that incident at Yonkers. And obviously, Mike Wilder. Nice to see he was out of qualifiers yesterday hanging around. But a scary accident out there at the Meadows,
great
too.
Dude,
so,
Mike Wilder.
Love you know, Garnett, I said it on the show at Yonkers on Monday night. And I truly mean it every time I say it. I mean, you know, well, you were there, Garnett. The first time I ever jogged a horse was at Goshen last August with our Clyde Hurt Journalism Workshop students. And, you know, I was thinking in my head, well, we're going this little 4 mile around the track. I mean, it felt fast enough for me. Now try doing that at race speeds like these guys do and, you know, working with these horses day in and day out. It's a dangerous job. And really, truly, my respect to those that do it.
For real. And, you know, it's really amazing how resilient the horses and drivers are, because some of those things just look so ugly. And, you know, we had one at the Mohawk Gold Cup on North America Cup night last year, I mean, and it took the veteran Wheels on Fire a long time to get back from it, but he's actually come back and won a race. And luckily in most cases, you know, nothing tragic happens, but it's a very dangerous sport, a lot of split second decisions. The other night, unfortunately, there was a horse that was on the lead and broke one of his hind legs on the lead, and James McDonald managed to get him out of the way quick enough to the safety lane that avoided tragedy behind him. But yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately,
Tokyo Sealster, yeah.
Things do happen. Poor Tokyo Sealster.
Well, and that's a rarity too. You don't really hear about those kinds of injuries to standardbreds, like in comparison to thoroughbreds. They're a fairly hardy breed.
Yeah, it's really unusual, and it's just a freak thing. I don't know. You rarely see, like, you could watch harness racing for 10 years and not see that, right? So that's one of the good things about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, definitely our best wishes here from this show, from In the Money Media, from all of us, towards all of our horses, drivers involved in these incidents in the last couple of weeks. Hopefully we see everybody back on the track shortly. But we'll discuss the Saturday card at Woodbine Mohawk Park, and we got a lot, so we're going to kind of I'm looking at Ray. Breeze through these first two so we can focus on this pick five. Ray, I'll even let you start so you can get your quick thoughts out of the way first. Race five, Armbro Flight Final. Is it MM's Dream?
Yes.
Anything else underneath? Prices? Anything?
No.
MM's Dream with all?
No. I mean, the one thing, I wonder what is up with Warwick Xenia. Because, I mean, she was in that five-horse elimination.
I guess you'll just let him go take the yes and move on, right?
Well, no, because she was in the five-horse elimination. And, I mean, Garnsdale tweeted about this, too, when that one horse scratched. You do wonder, like, were they just kind of going around the track? Or did we see, like what kind of mile did we get from her, basically? Because she hasn't really hit her best stride yet, and she's much better than her last few starts have been. So I imagine Warwick Xenia in a race like this would probably try and turn things around.
Garnett, well, if you tweeted about it, what do you think?
I picked her for third, actually. I can see her picking up a piece, but to me, it looks like MM's Dream and Call Me Goo in a very, very short price exactor. I might end up just betting a $20 try with Xenia third there and hope it comes in and pays $30.
On NahuPicks.com, Mike Rabosi, I think you were a little bit non-thrilled with the drive two back when MM's Dream. Were we more satisfied last week?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's you know, I throw in my comments when I can. I'm going to go with Refined here. I think that she's interesting. She likes this racetrack. She got gapped on the turn there, but Call Me Goo sort of went for home. She never stopped trying. She dug in, and she almost she wasn't really going to win the race. But I do like how she dug in and was game to the wire, kicked 27-3 there. I know MM's Dream is going to be sub-even money again. And I do think she's might be just a hair vulnerable here. She hasn't looked quite herself despite the short prices. Call Me Goo's getting better. I'm going to try Refined just because you're going to get the price that the other two aren't. And see, you can really shake up that late or that early pick five if you can get that horse to win.
MM's Dream, the single, the check mark. Last thing on this, Ray, the five, Call Me Goo. I say this lovingly because you, like me, have called a Rosecroft. You know the Maryland circuit.
Uh-huh.
That had to be the greatest gift of all time with Call Me Goo. Even at 1-5, 20 cents on the dollar against that group in Maryland. That I was watching at Yonkers tonight. That was still amazing to me. I mean, Town comes over for that spot. That horse was never going to lose.
You could tell the Edison Hatter fix wasn't in because she was only 1-5. She would have been 1-20 had your action actually finally hit the board.
Let's talk to race six very quickly. Garnett, a scratch of the 10 on the proof versions, at least some of us were looking at, Wallace Hartley. So leaves us with 9 for the Pepsi. Ray, I think you're even missing something. We need a number in there. Is it 41, I think?
Well, no, I only include the number for the final because they're the champions and this is the consolation.
All right.
There consolation is an AE Garnett in this race also, so Captain Fear Not should scratch in, I would think.
Okay, Garnett, thoughts on the consolation?
Thoughts on scratching in?
I don't really love anybody in here, but I think this could be a spot where Clever Cody can make front from the best post and potentially lead all the way. But this isn't a race I particularly like from a wagering standpoint, to be honest.
You know, Mike, it's funny. I would kind of say the same thing as Garnett, but to be fair, as you recall, Mike, so we were on here together last week, and actually, Garnett, you were too. You heard me say how much I liked taking a chance with Clever Cody in that race. Obviously, lost all chance at the start, so makes sense to come back with them, right?
I'm going to try Mirage Hanover. Clever Cody, I do think he can win. I did like him last week, and then he busted at the start, so we'll see what happens. This price is going to be probably just a little too low for me. I'll try Mirage Hanover. I thought raced pretty good last time. Against Funtime by Alma. This is a fast horse. I mean, he went 48-4.2 back, kicked 25-3 at the Meadowlands. That's good enough to win this race, so I'll try him.
Ray, Mike is going to try the 9-5 heavy morning line favorite. What are you going to try?
I just want to mention, I played Cats Driver against Jake Lehman, and then a day later, he added me as a Facebook friend. So shout out to Jake Lehman.
He's cool. I also whooped him in that game, I think. I don't remember. Clever Cody, I mean, if he stays flat, he makes sense. The one horse that I'm kind of curious about price-wise is Better Is Nice, because he took back in his North America Cup elimination. He's a horse that's always been better when he sits close. And, you know, it's a tough draw, but he has enough speed to try and get into the mix. And I have to feel like that's probably his best chance to get a piece of the action. So if he's the right price, he might be worth using in some of the underneath spots.
John Rallis says it'd be nice to know what's been causing Clever Cody to run. He says that like he knows something, so I don't know, Ray. I guess he's going to impart some wisdom on us. We'll circle back to that when we get there. But
I tried to beat some information out of John earlier, and he was like on the text, and he was holding so many cards up to his chest. I could tell the man knows something. He knows
he's been
something.
A little distant lately. He's you know, I don't know.
Well, that's because he's starting to know things that, you know, could make him disappear if he reveals. But you know, I understand. My family comes from that, you know, that lineage as well. I'm not going to say anything about that.
Race 7 is going to start our main point of our talking points. The $100,000 guaranteed pick 5, races 7 through 11. All stakes finals, or actually 4 stakes finals and the Gold Cup in the middle there. And this ends, of course, with race 11, the Pepsi at North America Cup number 41. Is that correct, Garnett? 41?
41, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So race 7, Ray, this is always great timing because I need to step away for like 60 seconds. I know you're going to blab to us for a long time in the Good Times final. You're going to tell us all about Highland Kismet and either how he can't lose or how he's going to look these horses in the eyes and say, I'm racing for 220,000 and get scared, or, you know, have at it, whatever you're going to say.
I also love for as long, and he won't even hear me mocking him at this point. We've been doing shows for like a year and a half, 2 years, maybe even 3 years, and he has not found any different segue towards me except that same one that he throws every single show. If you listen to every show, he says the same thing.
But it's a lock.
I can ask you this then, Garnsdale. Do you
same
think
thing.
Same thing? What? Do you, Garnsdale, do you think that Highland Kismet gets into traffic trouble in this race?
Off the top of my head, no. I would hope he doesn't.
Whoa. Okay, hope is different. Hope is different, because I would hope too. Everything I've seen from him makes me think that he can overcome it. But as
he's got the best
you,
post. He shouldn't get into traffic trouble from the best post in Mohawk.
But I don't care about the stats of it in terms of how this race goes. Do you think Bob tries to put him forward, or do you think that he has to come from off the speed again? And you, as a gambler, are you okay taking a short price on that? Because that's kind of the conundrum I'm in with Highland Kismet.
I'm betting against him regardless, to be I really
great
like
private, start.
I like private access in this race. I don't think he was asked for anything until probably the tote board last week. And he was closing well on Highland Kismet. And he just gives me the feel of a Luke Blay horse that's just been primed for this one race, and he's coming into it perfectly. Now, if Highland Kismet beats me, am I going to be surprised? Of course not. He's looked sensational in every start. His best race probably was the one where he lost. But, you know, I just think this looks like a Blay determination horse that they've brought along just for this race. You know, they haven't really gone out of their way to try to win any of these races. He could have won last week. It was not to say they're not trying, but he's not being driven aggressively. And I think I'm hoping to get, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 4-5 to 1 on him. I'm not sure I will, but I'm definitely going to try to beat Highland Kismet.
No, and that's my main qualm with him as the favorite too, is I think John talked to Bob about this after the race, is that, you know, by design, Bob's been trying to nurse him up towards the gate. And either that means he's going to be ready to try and go off the gate inside of a race like this, or he's going to float out while others are able to get better position than him and force his hand either to make a big move early or to have to follow some kind of helmet and hope that it carries him close enough. Like that, those are the factors to me that I'm incorporating into what price would make sense on Highland Kismet. You know, I'm in agreement with you on private access. I also want to throw out Griff, not throw out as in toss. Griff is interesting to me because he has a lot of gate speed, and he seems like the type where if he gets position and just kind of keeps going forward, no matter if someone clears him or what, he could be one of those big prices that can somehow hit the trifecta or the superfecta. I thought he was fairly even in the finish when he was fourth in the elimination, but you look at the SBOA and the gold, and from those outside posts, he's been able to get into the right spot to do okay things. He might not be as fast as the rest of them, but he can probably get into the right place to do okay.
I don't mind his next. I don't mind his next door neighbor to get a piece of it. What's wrong with Shermont? He's been great for Team Henry since coming up from Pennsylvania. And you know, Trevor Henry's going to put this horse into the race. He's going to be on the bottom of some of my trifecta and super tickets for sure.
What I mean, that outside speed, definitely that poses a risk to Island Kismet too, I'd imagine. And him trying to get out there.
You know, Mike, I was on Shark Tank last night or the night before. I was watching him probably replay, but I wasn't a new show or anything. But there was this AI tool you can use for your business meetings. You just got to put your face there and just like you can just sit there. We could probably do that with Ray, you know, just disappear. We could all get 5 minutes of work done while Ray talks every time, you know. So anyway, your thoughts on Ray before we turn the page.
Well, a couple things. What Ray said, Griff, I didn't think Griff looked the same in that Good Times elimination as he did in the gold and in the SBOA. Just he came back a different horse, one from outside post. I thought he struggled a lot last time in that elimination. So I don't think I want any part of him whatsoever. I like Winter Soldier. I think this horse is third back for Alanya. Had some class at two. I thought made an early move last time and, you know, was just overcome late by the closers, but a better time move here. And I think Dexter's driving very well. I think he's back to himself where he was dominating everything, you know, a couple years ago. Last year, maybe not so much. I think he's sort of back to being at the absolute top. I want him here with any kind of trip. I do think that this horse has plenty of upside, just two starts into the season. Third start, they're going for the big money here. I don't think Highland Kismet is that much of an overwhelming horse to overcome. So I want something that's going to be a price, and I think that he's a mid-price. I think he's just okay. I don't mind Pickpocket either, although he did hang pretty bad off that trip last time. He's supposed to win off that trip, right? But again, it was an elimination that was coming off a scratch also. And this horse, again, he won $150,000 at two. So I'll try a couple of those. Give me Pickpocket. Give me Winter Soldier. And, you know, I don't mind what Garnett said, too, about the Blay horse. I think that that's another one, private access, that has a chance, but we'll probably be underlaid now. 16-1 elimination. I'm thinking, like you said, 4-5-1. I mean, that's
maybe,
okay.
Maybe even lower. Might even be lower. He's probably going to be the second choice, right? Maybe 7-2.
I would hate for that horse to beat me out of Maltese, though. I don't think you want to leave that horse off your tickets.
I'll say to Winter Soldier's credit, the one thing that I liked is that in his elimination, he wasn't washed. Because if you remember him as a two-year-old, he would get so warm in the post-parade pretty much every single one of his races. But last out, he stayed pretty cool. So it seems like he has matured. It seemed like Dexter was really nursing him through the stretch too. It seemed like he knew he was beat, but he was good enough to be able to hold off everyone else coming. So, I mean, if he's like 15-20-1, absolutely he was underneath.
He needs a trip. I know he needs a trip, but I do think that with a trip that he's going to be right there. I don't think there's any overwhelming horse in this race.
Highland Kismet, single turn the page. Race eight. Mohawk Gold Cup, the invitation over $100,000. Ray Catolo, I don't need to step away for a minute, but I know that you can give us the talk. It's the only thing I say whenever I introduce you. I know that you can, you know, you can give us the long-winded explanation of Tarazi, your favorite horse of all time that you were just fawning over on Payable Tony Day. Couldn't lose, and I, you know, I'm sure you got it again for us.
I mean, to my hey, don't discredit me. I watched this horse fall down in a post-parade scratch and then come back to race massive at Oak Grove the very next week. Right, that tells you that the horse is at least something if they could rebound like that. And he was able to uncork what 9-10 straight wins in the Mohawk Preferred.
11.
Yeah, exactly. So bite me, Ed. Look, this I kept looking up and down the page here, and this is a really good race. Like I could even make a case for Blue Hunt possibly winning the race if he in any way rekindles that magic he had on May 25th. But aside from that, in terms of how everything sets up here, I think it's perfect for Alleywag Hanover. I know post 10 is awful. Yikes. For some horses. I think it's perfect for Alleywag. He's going to be able to get last call to the lead. Someone will quarter move. He can get his pocket trip and then do what he usually does best.
You think he's
best.
Getting a pocket from the 10 hole in this race?
I think he can. I think he can. Well, you think he's going to get
that happens.
You think that Todd is going to let others outsprint him so he can get away
have
to go first, second over?
Have you seen this horse race in the 10 hole?
Yeah, I've seen this horse race in general. I think he can get there.
I would love to go back in time 2 minutes, Ray. I almost introduced you one of two ways. I was going to say, tell us how Tarazi can't lose, or tell us how Ali Wag's getting the lead from post 10. And I should have gone with that because you basically told us that.
Look, my point is that also I've watched this horse since he was a 3-year-old, and I've never seen him come into form as quickly as he has in his last two starts, to already be going 48 miles. Like two starts ago in his debut, he got a little tight inside and then just kind of finished evenly. I thought he was okay against Coach's Quarter in Oakwood Arden in that Meadowlands race. I know there's going to be a lot, like some other speed inside the race, but think about it, please. Blue Hunt takes back. A Buckabet takes back. Line Drive takes back. Tarasi and Coach's Corner might go. Buzzsaw Russ takes back. Oakwood Arden takes. There's no speed in this race.
Ray, please tell us what happened with... Tell us what happened with Scott Zeron last time you loved the horse going to the lead from post 10.
Scott got scared that he was 90-1 because he went, oh, I only have a 1% chance to win. Oh, no, I can't win and pay $200. I'll just win 3 weeks later with the exact trip that I thought he could get. It's like, look, this is also a race that he's done well in, minus, you know, the mishap that happened in that accident a couple years ago. But I wouldn't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Okay, there's genuinely no speed in this race.
Garnett, John Rallis is giving us a strong opinion. Oakwood Arden is the one to beat.
He could be. I think a bucket by Hammer is the one to beat. What did he make, about 75 moves last week, and won by two lengths? He made a ton. He made so many moves. He was like, I think he's the one to beat. I picked this 2-horse, just go shooting for a price. Comes to lands from Australia, goes 50-1 with a 26-1 last quarter. Yes, it's a huge step up in class, but I mean, we see these horses do this kind of stuff, right? Oakwood Arden, the one to beat? Probably. Look, I mean, he's won 3 in a row coming home in 25, 26 every week. But Ray, if you think 4 or 5 of these horses aren't leaving the gate going for 100K, I think you're nuts.
I think 3 or 4 can, but I think you remember with the outside posts, it's not as impossible to get the lead. I see so many impossible horses get the lead from 9 and 10 at Mohawk because they just have the 9 and 10.
Not in the Mohawk Gold Cup, you don't.
Not this place. No way.
I forgot that all of the horses can tell the difference in the starting gate because of what race it is. Okay. I got it.
Ray, you showed all the comments except the one involving you. We got Nicholas Ace Barnsdale listening in, wondering why you're in front of a green screen that isn't being used.
Again, I don't know how to decorate this plate. Like, my brother made some really great paintings. Like, these are my brother's paintings. And they're really nice. And, like, I'm not trying to cover them because I don't like them, but it's just I also have this giant screen. I just don't know where else to put it.
Well, Moira Fanning just commented and said she loves your green screen, so good enough, Ray.
That's good.
Mike, do you have anything else to offer on this race?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot to offer. I like Coach's Corner. I do think that there's plenty of speed in the race. I really hope Ali Wag does go for broke from the outside because that's just going to set it up more for Coach's Corner, who's danced a lot of dances this year already. He was second in Borgata Final, second in the Battle Lake Erie last time. I know he gets a lot of second place finishes, but now gets a big track. Look back on that May 11th line at the Meadowlands. Kicked 26-1, 49-3 mile there. He has a big chance to win here with a setup. Line Drive isn't quite what he was. I think a Buckabet, he's hit and miss a lot. And last week was a hit. Well, let's see. This is a tougher spot here. Then you have some of these shippers, Ali Wag, Oakwood Arden. I do think that Coach's Corner has a huge chance, will be a mid-price. I don't mind Yannick getting on here either. I do think that all he has to do is be patient. Just be patient, Yannick, with him, because he's going to be the one with the last move.
And wait, I just want to add one more thing, because I like Ali Wag, but I also wanted to say, do we really think that Line Drive Hanover is 10-1 in this race? Is everyone just that upset with him off of how he's raced that they would leave him go double digits?
I don't know.
Well, Ray, I think you and I already had this discussion off the record earlier. I mean, I just think there's only so much money to go around with this race, and given everybody else who has to take money,
Does that horse get bad?
I think he's shorter than. I don't know if he's shorter than Line Drive. Maybe that's where Line Drive gets to 7-8-1. But at the very least, he's definitely not as short as anything else we've discussed. Ali Wag's the question mark though, because I guess the Ray Catolo $2 win bet is going into him from post 10. But most people, I think, are maybe not going to bet him as much. 5-1. Maybe that's a fair number. Might even be higher. I don't know. I think that's a big question mark. But beyond that, if Oakwood Arden's taking money, Tarazi's taking money, Abuckabet's taking money. I mean, my question to you, does Coach's Corner take money off of Battle of Gary? I mean, again, there's only so much money to go around, right?
Well, he was 15-1 in the battle. And he'll be 10 the Murata final, he was 15-1. I think he'll be 15. Well, he'll be at least 10, and I'm at perfectly least. Fine with that.
And if you are going to be 10-1, though, that's still enough points that, you know, that's significant to figuring out the odds and everybody else. So to answer your question, right, there's only so much money to go around, but I still think line drives the value of the race. I think he is somewhere near that number.
No, and I wanted to touch on that, too, because he's raced 8 times this year. Only one of them was on a big track. He's not a small track horse. I know he did okay in the Borgata, but like every time I've seen him race, he's built for 2 turns. And I feel like he's coming back. He has the one loss to Taurasi in a preferred. It's in a preferred versus in the Mohawk Gold Cup. I wouldn't throw him aside. You know, I don't, if he's 20-1, I don't care if he should have won the race. Like to that end, other people just throwing him aside are forgetting that he still has the capability of being the horse that he showed last season. And he really, in the Borgata final, he went a monster mile. He could have probably won the race if he didn't have Desperate Man at his throat. And then, you know, Camluck Classic, Battle Lake Erie, got put into tough spots, parking, and then going first up. He has had no luck whatsoever. I would not leave him go at 15-20-1.
No easy trips in this race either. Just saying.
I don't care. He's still a good horse.
This race to me has the potential for a 35-1 shot to fluke out. Mm-hmm. I think there's gonna be so much action. You could have the horse that's sitting fourth on the rail, makes no moves. The rail all of a sudden opens up in the stretch, or somebody closes from 10th and passes them all because they went 119 and 2 3/4. If there's one race where a 30-40-1 shot could win, it could be here. Like maybe Buzzsaw Russ, who paced a 26 flat 3/4 last week to make the lead. I mean, if that's not a perfect tightener over a good track, I don't know what is. I might put a horse like that on some of my tickets.
Well, he'll be 50-1.
Sure.
Robbie cannot win. Alleyway cannot win, but very deep on the pick 5 ticket here. Bonnie, Prince Louis, we haven't discussed at all. I thought that was a fine start, first start coming from Australia. Obviously, this is a big jump up, but, I mean, it's Trainer Ron Burke, it's driver Dave Millett. They're shipping him up there. I wouldn't toss him out. A buck a bet, line drive, I think could be some real value in this race. Coach's Corner, I think, could be some value in this race. Oakwood Arden has a chance. Ray can throw all his money to Alley Wagon Tarazi once. Race 9, the Fan Hanover Final. Mike, Geocentric, my girl EJ, here they go again.
Yeah, I'll take Geocentric. I think that was a perfect prep. And I know my girl EJ, I thought was very good in that race. Very game to the wire, but I do feel like Geocentric, that was more like a prep for her. I like the fact that she raced well from off the pace. And this race we talked about last week, there was a lot of speed. Well, there's a lot of speed again, and I think she can do it either way. I really like her. I think she's going to be very tough to beat.
You know, Ray, I told Kevin Plouch 3 starts ago, the 3 couldn't lose that race at the Meadows, makes that break, and then you know what? I totally jump off, and look at this. You get 49 and 28-1 in the last 2 weeks.
That is kind of crazy. I didn't realize that she was 49-1. In that race at the Meadowlands, and she won. The ROI on her is great because she was also kind of a dark horse at the end of Grand Circuit season last year. She was able to get a win at Red Mile, I think at like 6-1 in one of the bluegrass divisions. She's always been a nice horse, but no one needs to make a case for Geocentric. A lot of people are going to be using Geocentric. She's an obvious horse inside of the race. I know you did, but I you know, the case is also going to be made on the tote board that she's probably going to be the favorite inside of this race, and she is the one to beat. I don't want people to forget about it's a love thing. I've liked how she's raced, and we're talking speed. She's one that can capitalize off the speed as well. I think that James did not expect Dexter to be sliding up the inside there in that elimination because he had the kind of gravitas in the bike coming down the outside of thinking he had it won until Can I Get a Loop Loop came through, and then the oh hell no kind of kicked in. And he had to settle for second inside of that race. I've always liked it's a love thing. She's always been a nice filly. You know, has raced well in the SBOA and in the gold, and seems like she could also benefit from whatever type of speed shows up. And speaking of that speed, I do kind of like Odds on Platinum. I was surprised that she was able to hold as well as she did to get third inside of her elimination because, you know, she made a move after a 25 3/4 and then sustained through that 3/4 and 22 4 to hold off. I think it was Caviar Beldor outside, who was also hanging for what she was so rank in that elimination. Does anyone know if they like changed the bridle on her or anything like that? Because I have not seen her that keen in any of her races this year. Garnsdale, do you know?
I couldn't say for sure. No, maybe Rallis knows.
Yeah, well, John, of course, John would know. The question is, will he share it? He holds so many cards against his chest. It's a big chest. Have you seen his chest? Point being, odds on Platinum, I think, can get a okay piece in like the Superfecta or something. I feel like people are just going to toss her aside because she's going to be like the speed bait of the race. But she seems okay enough where even if she goes way too fast, she might be able to hold on for a little piece.
You know, speaking of my girl EJ, I think Ray, Mike, you two both forgot that start two back four. You know, when I said she was going to be no good at 2-5 and I said I loved Rocket Day, you people.
How many times do we have to hear this?
Because you should take note anytime I don't like a 2-5. We know he's going to be no good. Ray, tell me I'm wrong.
It does say something when Hatter doesn't like a favorite.
Edison's analysis of every race was, hey, I told you so 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, yeah, this is not really – he's really playing into the what have you done for me lately of the analysis as opposed to providing any analysis.
Garnett, what do you think of the geocentric My Girl EJ battle?
I love My Girl EJ, actually. She had by far the tougher trip last week, and, you know, prepping or not, I'll use one of Mike's favorite phrases. Geocentric was supposed to win that race. She had by far the best trip. By far a perfect trip. Couldn't get by. Now, if My Girl EJ happens to get a slightly easier trip this week, maybe she wins by more. But I was very impressed with her. I thought for the whole final eighth, I thought she was getting beat, and she refused to get beat. So,
are you worried, though, that they emptied her out a little? Like, are you worried about her bouncing a little bit off of that? I am. That's why I don't.
Not really, no. I mean,
okay.
She's had, what, two starts this year? I would hope there's still some more left in the tank, but this is what makes parimutuel racing so much fun, right? You can definitely make the case that geocentric was prepping and, that race does nothing to take any luster off her shine. She's won 10 out of 12 starts, right? So, but for me, I'm probably going to single My Girl EJ here, try to separate.
You know, it's all to say, too. It's like My Girl EJ 2 back. It's all to say I love her this time. Yeah, I agree with you, Garnett. So that's two votes each way here. Ray, I have a text in response to you. I do believe she choked down.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that means. can your text also explain? I've never heard the phrase choke down.
Shut her ear off. And that's what choking is, right? They flip the palate or whatever, and that's
and that goes up in
the program as choked.
And that can make the horse be like ranked through the race? Because usually I've thought that makes the horse just kind of level and not really give their best first.
Yeah, or stop. But I guess if it's only partial, I guess it could make you rank. Yeah, because you're trying to gas and breathe, get full air.
Yeah, because that was the one thing I said. Because Yannick put her into the mix and she wanted to go. He was really working to try and keep her on a helmet. I mean, he moved three wide way too early with her because he couldn't do anything else. And that might explain it. I wonder then how she'll rebound. Because, I mean, remember, her as a two-year-old, she was able to kick home in almost like 25 flat at the Meadowlands. So, like, she's a question mark as well, just given that things didn't go her way inside of that race.
Well, Ray, I will assume our texter is still listening and might give me some more details. And to be fair, you know, there's only so many people we all know here. So I just, if they want me to share whom it is from, I shall do so. But anyway, we'll find out. Race 10, Roses Are Red final. Although John Rowles has to say, perfect draw for Timmy to work out, two old trip at worst, not much speed to her inside. There we go. And yes, Ray, our texter is typing, so we're going to find out here. Okay. Garnett, in the meantime, Roses Are Red final. Well, it's another battle here. Twin B Joe Fresh, Sylvia Hanover.
What about Always Be Naughty?
No.
That's what I talked to Ray about earlier today. He said no. She's not fast enough.
Well, okay, her thing is that she needs a breather. Twin B Joe Fresh does not need a breather. That's the difference.
Yeah, and I'm going to stick with Sylvia because I don't think we've seen her best race yet this year. I just don't think we have. And I think Bob probably thought going first up he was going to get by, and then Always Be Naughty kicked clear. Maybe might have been a little bit surprised. Maybe this time around he moves earlier and he looks something. She's got to look a horse in the eye. She hasn't done that yet this year, right? So I'm going to stick with her slightly. It's pretty hard to discount what Twin B Joe Fresh did. I don't love the 29 last quarter, but she also looked like she was just cruising to the wire, right? So I'm sure she probably could have gone. She might have been able to go but a second faster, maybe. But I got to stick with Sylvia because I don't think we've seen her best race, and I don't think she's been put into position to produce her best race yet. So that's what I'm leaning on.
Well, and after the race, Dex said that, you know, given the fractions that she went, that he just kind of wanted to cruise her in, didn't want to really use her too hard, of course, you know, before the final. And the other thing that's worth noting, too, is that they had changed the hopples a little bit. Because if you watched, John was, again, can we have some John Rallis appreciation beyond me saying I love his chest on this show? He asked some really great questions to these guys, because I'm watching the replay and I see Twin B Joe Fresh throw in some steps. And what is the first thing John asks? He asks that question of what happened back there. And Dex said they moved the hopples a little bit. They expanded them a little bit. And, you know, you never know how that, you know, impacts just how smoothly they move over the ground. You know, they might,
that's great. That's
they might do a little bit of re-rigging and she'll be, you know, she might be able to go a second or two faster. It, like those are the little things.
And that's the kind of stuff that's better is we want to know, right? Mm-hmm. Not just lobbing softball questions up there. Yeah, that's great that he has that stuff.
But sure. John's a better. So John, that's why he belongs in that situation, right? Because
he wants to know himself. Know.
Yeah. Which is why, and sometimes he keeps them in his chest, you know?
Ray, sorry to backtrack the back race, but here's the most recent text we got. Yannick said he was trying to keep the horse behind him from getting into the race, and he had a lot of horse at the time, but that is when he shut off her air. We should establish we are discussing the 9 Caviar Bell there in race 9, the Van Hanover final. She was fired up, and he was trying to wait. And this person does not care if we mention them. So, Ray, who do you think this is? That's your trivia question.
Is it John Rallis?
No, it is not. No, John's been in our chat here.
I have no clue.
I mean, it only leaves like one other person we've ever had on the show here. And somebody's probably asking these questions to Yannick for like a paper or something that you probably write for.
You texting Derek?
Yes, Derek gives great information.
Yeah, Derek also gets some good stuff. No, the one thing I wonder, and this is my problem with not being a horse person. I don't know how horses rebound off of stuff like that, because you know sometimes, like I would imagine she'd probably be fine, and that's just like a through the race thing. But I've also heard some cases where if you flip a pallet, you know, you can lose like a week or two just to like get back into, you know, your regular stride. So I don't know.
Mike, Roses are Red final before we get to the big one.
Twin B Joe Fresh for me. I do think that she's getting better at 4. And she was, I know Sylvia was a little better at 3, but Sylvia, I don't know. She just, maybe her antics and things are starting to catch up with her a little bit. And Twin B Joe Fresh is getting better. I think that she crushes these horses. I really, another one that I do like quite a bit, and let Sylvia be in there and take some of that money. So, but it is older horses. I mean, you got Grace Hill, Kobe's GG, so much more. It's a nice race, really nice race. Even Silver Label. Silver Label is another one that really got good last year. I'll try Twin B Joe Fresh, though. Yeah. I think that she's the one.
I forgot to mention my 20-1s to use underneath, if I so may. Thank you. Talk Curdy to me, use underneath. I think that horse is coming into good form. And Kobe's GG, just in terms of how many horses were just not good in the elimination or just struggled in the elimination. Talk Curdy to me, Kobe's GG, they were really the only other two that really moved forward. So I have to imagine that could be to their advantage at big prices.
I'll be trying to beat Twin B Joe Fresh. I'll take Sylvia Hanover and Always Be Naughty. And Ray, Always Be Naughty is not fast enough, but Talk Curdy to me and Kobe's GG are... You just seem to have something against Fair and Nancy Tactor, but whatever.
No, it's more so the way that the race sets up. I don't think Always Be Naughty is going to be a price that's really worth using versus, you know, some of these longer ones. Even if Always Be Naughty gets second, you know, the two I mentioned can absolutely hit the trifecta, hit the superfecta. But
Ray, what could you have against Nancy? I want to know.
I have nothing against. I have nothing against. I'm making my case. I watched Always Be Naughty race at Oak Grove, and it was interesting that Waugh said in the race after that Nancy told him to give her a breather, because that was the one thing I noticed in her Kentucky Sire Stake that she raced in there, was that Andy rolled her through every fraction, didn't give her any chance to breathe, and what happened? She got caught by Zanata. And, you know, when you give Zanata a pocket trip, that you're going to have to really try and out-sprint her in the stretch, so... I think the fact that Always Be Naughty does, and we'll talk about this in the cup because this also comes into play in the cup, but I feel like that goes against Always Be Naughty in terms of like if whatever price she goes is going to be true value, especially off the win that she went. Are you kidding? She's going to take a ton of play.
And deservedly so off of the win, which is why she's going to win this race. But whatever, Ray, you can bet whoever you want. Let's move on to race 11. We already are over time. We've already got the replay teed up. So we're going to look at last year's North America Cup. Ray, we don't have any volumes. We're just going to let you talk over it, I think.
Okay, that's fine. I remember this race. Actually, who won it last year? I don't even remember.
Talk us over. We're good to go.
I forgot Unicorn Blue Chip was the first trotter to ever win. What? the Pepsi North America
Cup. It was a unicorn.
This was still such right, a literally. Great, still my favorite horse of all time. Oh my god.
If we can't get sponsorship out of that, I don't know what. We just have no chance.
All right, let's go to last year's North America Cup. Actually, we saw a certain – well, we'll see the replay, then we'll chat about it.
From an eighth drives Ammo Now, ninth towards the rail is Lion Surfing, and Redwood Hanover a backed up 10th, 54 second speed to the midway point. And It's My Show is on top, leading at a length. Pocket Riding Save America outside from in third, now into second. Here drives Fulton, moving up on his cover outside. Comes Moment is here from in fourth, buried at the inside. Christchurch fifth, outside from in sixth is Confederate. Further back we go to the locked up Vuka Phallus, three quarters passed by. 120 and 4, 26 and 4 speed. They're into the stretch, and it's My Show on that lead. Pressure on the outside comes now from Fulton. Inside, Save America. Confederate cut loose off cover. They're in deep stretch, and it's My Show. Here's Confederate with a relentless rally from the backfield. Confederate comes after It's My Show. It's My Show's almost there. A late push from Confederate. It's My Show wins the big show in 147 and 4, the Pepsi North America Cup, and it goes to an impressive score here tonight for It's My Show.
You know, I feel like, Mike, that second place finisher might be a good bet back next time. I don't know. That horse might be okay this rest of this year.
I'm not sure he lost the rest of the year, like what he lost the last race, but he won about 11 in a row after that race. But that was Scotty Z and him doling out that speed and winning that race. And that drive won it there. There's no question about it. And I liked that horse last year, and he deserved to win because he got a perfect drive. He needed every inch of that jump that he got, and you know, got him to the wire first. So
it's a great replay to pull up too, because I feel like we can all agree this North America Cup shapes the same way, where the winner is going to be determined by whoever has the best tactics. Like this is not a race where there's one clear standout. This is a race where a horse has to be in the perfect spot to win, because so many of them can.
And obviously, this race last year was key in sparking Scott Zeron's massive year. We got him a driver of the year honors from Ushua this past February down in Florida. And, well, he'll have a chance. He'll be looking for two in a row here with Captain Luke this year. A bit of a longer shot, but obviously, we agree a lot of things can happen in this 41st edition of the Pepsi North America Cup, as Nick Barnsdale tells us, he says, legend, you know what? He's already kind of looking the way that I might be peaking. A legendary Hanover has way more to give. Already went 48-3. Good enough to win most years. If he can be second or third over, he can out-sprint them. Garnett, we'll throw to you. Do you agree with your son?
I actually do, but you know, my take on this race, and listen, if there's connections watching, no offense to anybody here. We're handicapping. We're bettors. I'm talking betting. To me, the 1, 7, and 10 have no shot, in my opinion. Any of the other seven horses can win. And the most amazing thing about this race to me is every one of the elimination winners got the best trip last week. Now, Nijinsky may be a little bit tougher because he was out uncovered a bit until he picked up cover. But, man, you got to be crazy to bet a favorite in this race, I think. I'm sticking with Legendary Hanover because I like the post draw. I think that he's going to probably float out of there and land fifth or sixth and pick up cover, and that might be the winning trip. He hasn't really had a good trip yet. I mean, last week's wasn't terrible, but Fun Time Bahama was on his back the whole way and picked him up on a wet track where it might have been a little bit tiring. You know, I think, honestly, I think any of the rest of the seven, and I'm going to have a little bit of Captain Luke on some of my tickets. He was, you know, he had pace. He might have been a little bit lucky to make the final because he didn't get third by much. But he was crying out for room late, and, you know, Scott Zeron's the money man. He's not the elimination man. He's the money man. And when the money's down, he comes through quite often. But for me to come out and make an actual pick of one horse, I'm going to stick with Legendary Hanover.
Can I share my fear in this race? Can I share my fear?
Sure.
Heights, mainly. But in this race specifically, I fear that Funtime Bahama steals it. I keep because I'm trying to imagine how this race sets up, and I was also
the nine's got to go.
That's the thing. It's like if the nine goes, then the seven goes. In my mind, those two go together.
Then what's the Funtime, eight do?
Funtime he takes back.
Fun Time. I think he pulls out and gets a trip.
Yeah, that's Fun Time, you know, gets out. But here's the danger with Fun Time, and he's proven this with every single race. If he gets one breather, you're not going to outsprint him. He did it to Legendary Hanover. He did it. The only horse that did it that was able to outsprint him was Nijinsky, and he got the trip to Fun Time by Ama.
He went too slow that night.
And I mean, yeah, like he tried to get the breather and he got beat by a fifth of a second in the final quarter. Still came home like 25 and change. I say this because I spent 5 hours trying to map how everything sets up in this race. And it's because
that's the key, right? How does the race set up? But, that's the key.
Yeah, because in part, I've watched every single race of Fun Time by Ama's. And if you ask me who's the most visually impressive horse in the entire race, it's Fun Time by Ama. He's just such a natural racer and such a natural speed type where, I mean, if you go watch his stretch drives, he's reaching for racetrack to lengths that, you know, you can't teach a racehorse. He just knows to try and reach for ground, and he can go fairly fast, but he is handicapped by needing just that little bit of idle time where he can just kind of coast along. And, you know, from there, it comes down to who's where. If Nijinsky is two lengths off of Fun Time by Ama off a turn, he gets a breather. You know, does Nijinsky go and catch him? I don't know. And on top of that, with all this in mind, Legendary Hanover has one race, and your son touched on this, Garnsdale, that Sun Beach somewhere. Do you know what he paced his back half in?
Yeah, 52-1.
52-1. He wins this race if he does.
On dead cover.
Yeah. And what's weird about that, and I go and watch that race, I didn't think like he like visually looked like he was going that fast. He was doing that like a construction worker digging mud at a site, just real labor like chugging down the center of the track to go and grab second against Fun Time by Ama. And he's only had that rate. He has not been able to replicate that type of form. And there's a part of me that wonders in the elimination if James was surprised he got outsprinted. Because you saw for the longest time in the stretch, and pretty much the entire time James has been driving Legendary Hanover, he doesn't go to the whip. He kept him on the bit, even in the Sun Beach somewhere, to get second. So, like, all of this is to say, I do think Total Stranger and Ivy Park leave. But beyond that, Nijinsky probably tries to go for some kind of forward position. He doesn't need to go for the pocket or anything like that. But if he does, that changes the entire race. If Fun Time by Ama gets the lead and can get a half in 29 seconds or just any portion of the race in 29 seconds, he could outsprint him based on – and where's Captain's Quarters? We haven't even talked about Captain's Quarters yet.
There's going to be no 29-second quarters in this race.
Yeah, I don't know where you're thinking you're getting that at. But.
I've seen so many races in my life, and I've seen so many times where I think exactly that.
This isn't like a preferred trot at Mohawk on a Monday night.
Mike, you and I have been watching races. Well, you've been watching them a little longer than me, but we've still watched a pretty sizable amount of races and North America Cups and whatnot. You can have, if everyone uses their move to the half, that three quarters is slow. And that's the thing is, when does Captain Albano make a move? Where does Captain Albano get away? Does Captain Luke really try to push through? And Captain's Quarters is another one. I can't figure out what Jody's going to do. I thought Jody would want to get the pocket to Fun Time by Ama. And if he does, that could change the race. I say all of this because, you know, ultimately, I don't think we can predict. But if Legendary Hanover is 6-1, like he is on the morning line, I think you have to take that by default.
He's going
to
be the wise guy horse.
Mike, 100%. Before we let you give you your picks, let's remind ourselves that the internet's forever and receipts exist. So let's remember what we are dealing with here. Ray, you better put this up. We got to remind ourselves what we're looking at here.
Gambler's horse, better's wish.
My pick for this year's 2019 North America Cup is De Los Cielos Deo.
Working on better dollar.
North American. Nice shirt, though.
I'm Ray Catola with North American Harness Update, and my pick
remember that show?
America Cup is, of course, the winner of the race. Captain Victorious.
He bled! He bled in that. And Yannick put him in the exact spot I thought he'd be, which was second over. And of course, that was the first race he bled. He was on Lasix the next start.
At the end of that video, Roger Atfield appeared. He could have gave a better pick than me and Ray that year, probably.
I had so much money on Captain Victorious. I was so sad. It ruined my trip.
Mike, what do you have for us on this race before we call tonight?
So, I like obviously I'm on Nijinsky, and I don't think that was last week was any reason to get off of him. I mean, of course, he ended up 1-5 in there because he had beaten Captain Scores and Fun Time by Amma. So by the time they got to his elimination, everyone's like, oh yeah, this horse might be okay. And he ended up 1-5. He probably shouldn't have been that low. But what Watt did was he just kind of sat and took him whenever he felt like it. He was never losing that race. And he's beaten a lot of these horses already this year. He's 4-4. I think he can do it with any trip. They got him at 9-2 morning line. I do think you're going to get a fair price on him in this race, because there's going to be a lot of money spread around. I do think Captain's Quarters raced very well in elimination. He was impressive to me also. I know he got a perfect trip, but he just looked better to me. He looked like he's going to be ready. So I love Nijinsky. I think that he's turned the corner and that he's the best of these horses right now. I don't think the trip matters. I think Wall will put him where he needs to be. And Total Stranger, I think, shakes up the race again. He only has one way to go. He went 25-4, 55. He's in the 9 hole. I think he's going to have to force Legendary Hanover's hand. That's a problem from this post for him. Yeah, he's going to have to sit back. Well, when he sat back before, he hasn't raced all that well. And to my eye, he ended up, you know, coming up a little bit short. I think he's going to be overbet in this race. Also, he will be. He will be overbet in here.
Well, no. Whenever he comes from off the speed, he's only a victim to, like in the Metro Pace, Captain's Quarters, able to get easy fractions. Fun Time by Amma, able to get easy fractions.
In this race.
I think, I know I talked a lot about how Fun Time by Amma could steal it, and that's a fear of mine. Well, no, I'm disagreeing with what you're saying. I don't think you can hold that against Legendary Hanover. That's the point I'm ultimately trying to get.
What happens if he's 3-1? You think that's value?
I'm also operating on the presumption that Nijinsky is going to be the wise guy horse, not Legendary Hanover.
Same. I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. Ray, we got opinions everywhere from everyone. Dakota Jackson, Captain's Quarters is a complete immortal lock. He will jog in the final.
Lock? No.
Strong opinions.
I don't know what trip he gets. If he is right alongside Nijinsky, I think Nijinsky outsprints him. If he's alongside Legendary Hanover, I think Legendary Hanover outsprints him. So much hinges on who is in front turning for home.
What and about what everybody Captain Albano?
We've had so many random Ray thoughts. I don't know if anybody else has said it, but I think my pick for the race is Captain Albano. Has anybody mentioned that one yet? I mean,
If he had a more outside post, I think from post two, Todd's gonna have to use him pretty hard early, and that kind of got in his way. Then when he had to go first up, because then Captain's Quarters on his back was able to easily go by him. That said, if Captain Albano could have smooth sailing, and I was talking to you about this, Hatter, earlier today in that Pennsylvania Sire Stakes, I even went and like hand timed it. He paced the last eighth at Harris Philadelphia like 10 or 11 seconds. He went that 26-4 final quarter. He went most of the speed in the stretch, not in the turn. It was visually impressive. But again, it's like, how hard does he have to get used from that spot? I feel like post two is the worst place for him.
Yeah, I think he gets out sprinted by at least 3 horses, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot of opinions from us on this year's Cup. All right, Ray, I got one more and then I'll shut up. And I actually have no idea. I've got our videos from last year and I have no clue, to be honest with you. What we picked last year. I don't think I picked this my show.
I had Vuka Fallis.
I did.
It's my show.
You had like 3 of yourself talking. I know that much.
Of him and Tim Tietrich to be rolling late in the stretch to get the job done.
Our North America Cup winner.
That's well played.
My select.
The one Ray wasn't even right either, because Dan Dubé kind of fell asleep on the
Christchurch. Come on, I was on Christchurch. How many races last year? That's right. It was Christchurch time.
Now he's like a 50 claimer at Christchurch.
The nightmares of the Three Stooges, Ray.
While we're bored, maybe we should just sit here and listen and see if anyone actually gave us a winner. Let's start there.
The 6, Vuka Fallis with driver Jordan Stratton for the win in this year's North America Cup.
Emily, I think Dexter Dunn is the best driver in the business. He's driving number 4, Fulton, and that's my pick.
My pick this year's North America Cup?
He comes to. My selection for this year's Pepsi North American Cup is number 2, Son of Sweet Lou. It's Murcia.
Pretty ironic to have to pick a horse for the 2023 North American Cup. I have to go to the horse that has my last name, Redwood Hanover.
My top pick is the number 5, Confederate. I thought he raced extremely well in his elimination.
Your cup is number 6, Vuka Fallis. Good luck, everyone.
Our pick is Confederate in this year's Pepsi North America Cup.
We both have Greek names, and I'm liking the beaten favorite with the field's fastest closing quarter in his Alim to win the North America Cup final. I'm talking Vukafalas.
Hi, everybody. Back how home. Mel Greg Dangle.
That was pretty good.
My pick for the NA Cup is the two horse. It's my show. The way that it's my show performed from the rail last week, the way that he was able to hold his position, I think starting from the two is even better than the one, as everybody at Mohawk knows. And Scotty Money. You know, so when the money's on the line, I'm going to go with him.
I find myself landing on Vukafalas, you know, post six for the combination of Jordan Stratton and Mike Russo after making a break in the first turn, finished second behind Christchurch from a big back half. Pretty confident in those connections this week.
Yeah, I'm on the Vukafalas bandwagon as well. He went absolutely crazy during the New Jersey Sire Stakes here at the Big M. I'll take Vukafalas. Jessica.
Did you notice that Greg Gangle's steering wheel was on the right side of the car?
Well, Greg Gangle and Peter Lorre, there you go. There's the picks we want this year. They gave out winners last year. Ray and I included, we all gave out losers. Garnett, what happened to you? Did you get banished somewhere from 2019 to 2023?
I guess. I had the winner, but I guess I got banished from whatever the whoever was taking the videos doesn't like me, I guess.
De Los Cielos Deo, last time I checked, was not racing particularly high, though, Garnett, I can't say. No.
Well, you know what? Everybody loved Vukafalas, and he's not doing much either.
I mean, at the very least, he picked a fan favorite, because every time De Los Cielos Deo would show up in an hours at 2,500, it was always a fun thing to watch, going, what's he going to do? What is he going to do?
A big charge for eighth that night.
All right. We have talked enough here, but we do have pick five tickets to give out. Ray, give us pick five.
No, I'm last. I forgot to make one.
Mike, give us pick five numbers.
I'm too irritated.
Arnett, do you have a ticket?
I have numbers.
From the, what, the All Stakes pick five?
Yeah, I'll go. This is a rarity. I'll go first because I guess nobody else is prepared. Race seven, you can single Highland Kazmet. Race eight, I mean, take them all. Take Bonnie Prince Lewis. Take Bucka Bucka Bet. Take Line Drive. Take Coach's Corner. Take Oakwood Arden. Take them all. Race nine, My Girl EJ. Race 10, we're going to try to beat Twinbee Joe Fresh. Take Always Be Naughty. Take Sylvia Hanover. And race 11, you know, that's another one. We may as well just go deep. Take our options. Take Total Stranger. Take Legendary. Let's take Captain's Corner. We're going to take a stand against Funtambayama. We're against Nijinsky. Take Captain Albano. Take Captain Luke. I don't even know where we're at. We're at 6 with 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, with 6, with 3, 6, with 2, 3, 5, 8, 9. And that, if I can do math, is only $10 for all that, honestly. With two singles there, we're $10. So there you go.
I don't have a ticket, but I'm going to single My Girl EJ and Sylvia Hanover and go from there.
Hmm. Okay, sorry, Craig, you have that much at least of a thought?
Hold on, I have one. I just made one. I put all my thoughts together. I just never wrote it down. I'm singling Highland Kismet, okay? And I'm going four deep in the Gold Cup, a buck a bet, Line Drive, Oakwood Arden, Alley Wag, okay? You with me here? All right, I use Geocentric then, and it's a love thing in the Fan Hanover. Okay, you with me here? And then I'm singling Twinbee Joe Fresh. You still with me? Because then the last leg is the fifth leg, which is the North America Cup. I'm using Nijinsky, Funtambayama, and a Legendary Hanover. There. So that is 80, 160, 324.80 for 20 cents. There you go. That's a positive EV play.
For me, one, I'll do Pickpocket, Highland Kismet, Winter Soldier, and I'll throw in the three Private Access in that first leg. Give me Coach's Corner, Oakwood Arden in the eighth. We'll single Geocentric, single Twinbee Joe Fresh, single Nijinsky.
Ooh, that's an intriguing ticket. Yeah, we were told, Ray, if Nijinsky wins last week, we were going to see more bags there behind Mike. Did we get a new one this week? We got to win.
Well, no, because he was 1-5. I mean,
don't make money there. I mean,
if you put 500 down, I mean, you're at least
going to the gate. The horse was 4-5. Went to 1-5. Wasn't my money.
Wasn't Hatter money too, I could tell you that.
Hopefully, yeah, I know. I've been against him, Mike, but kudos for you. You know,
Why would you bet against him?
He will not win. Alley Wag will not win this week. And when they both win, then there you go. Thank you. Public should thank me. That I gave him two surefire winners there that I think can't win.
You'll get a Brett Pelling fruit basket at the end of the year.
All right. Well, hopefully we've given you some insightful information here for both the Norrbotten Stora pre-card this Saturday at Boden over in Sweden. That's the start of the day, 12:10 p.m. first post time. Big race goes at 4:46 p.m. Wood by Mohawk Park. What do we have? 13 races, Mike. Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody here. 13 races, 6:30 start. Super I-5 payout race 13. The All-Stakes pick 5 races 7 through 11. And I don't know. What do we predict? The big race will go off at 10:30? 11?
Yeah, when's it scheduled? 45. It's scheduled for 10:48. 10
and 11, so.
They're usually really good at sticking to post time. So I think 10:48, 10:50 is a good estimate.
Okay, so 10:48, 10:50, that's when we'll see the Pepsi North America Cup number 41 go to the gate. You know what? It's a miracle we've gotten through all of the North America Cup talk this year, and I did not say North America Cup once. That is a new record that we will look to achieve again next year. All right, well, we will talk to you here next week on the Harness Players Podcast. We have all your bets this weekend, our winning ones, and we'll be back next week. Mike, we have a preview for next week. What do we got? We got some more Mohawk action coming up. We might have a little stable action. I don't know. What else we got?
No idea.
All right, we'll figure it out. Ray Cotolo will give us some Oak Grove thoughts or some Great Britain turtle racing, whatever. Okay. Oh, Royal Ascot. Ray's going to give us Royal Race time.
Wait, hold up. They're racing turtles in Britain now? Man, those aisles, they're always cooking something. No, screw Royal Ascot. Oak Grove races 3 days this week. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I've been told they can't get enough of me and enough of the Oak Grove racing, so they added another day. Right, hot dog, yeah! Exactly. No. 11 a.m. Central post time on Wednesday. There's going to be a bunch of Kentucky Proud races, but then otherwise, Monday, Tuesday, you can expect the usual good stuff.
All right, well, thanks, Ray, for our final commercial. See everybody next week. Good luck. Enjoy the Rotten Store Prix and the North America Cup.
Good luck.